Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Seven FM's fan, 1250 AM in the free radio.com app. Gary Ellerson up in our WNFL studios. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, alongside here in the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios back in Ailes Corners. And joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our guy Rob Reichel of Forbes.com, Conley Media, and longtime Packers scribe here on the fan. Rob, now 14 wins for Matt LaFleur in his first year as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. They're one win away from going to the Super Bowl, and he would be the sixth coach to go to the Super Bowl in his first year as the coach of it. But in a different setting, all other five of those that did it, Rob, really were like given the opportunity and were on those staffs. He would be the first one to come in to a completely new system, new team, new identity, and be able to take them to a Super Bowl. It's pretty amazing that they're 60 minutes away.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it was, it's an absolute shock to everybody other than Sparky, who had him 13-3 and maybe sitting at this point. You know, the one thing that made Green Bay's job, in all likelihood, more attractive than some others that were open at this time last year, guys, or, you know, early in January of 19, was just you had a Hall of Fame quarterback to start with, and I don't quite think, guys, that anybody saw the aggressive level that the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, was going to take with this roster in terms of going out and spending $150 million in free agency on that Tuesday in March and then kind of staying after it ever since then, guys. But there's no question that Matt LaFleur has had a remarkable first year. Just the guys have bought in, the attention to detail around there, the commitment. I think the way he has handled the strength and conditioning side of things to keep these guys' bodies right and fresh. I mean, guys, it's just unheard of to hit what, you know, the middle of January here and have all 22 preferred starters available for this particular football game coming up on Sunday. So wall to wall, top to bottom, not much more could have gone right for Matt LaFleur in this first year, guys, and now they've been presented with just a golden opportunity that they'll try to go take advantage of on Sunday, because I mean, you guys know this and Leroy knows this. And, I talked to a number of veterans in the locker room yesterday about this, guys. Just these opportunities don't come around annually. And especially as you get older and wiser and longer in your career, you know, this isn't promised. And now it's up to them to take full advantage of the opportunity presented them.
All right, so I have an article up in front of me here from CBS Sports, and they're talking about the Packer-Niner game, and they compare Garoppolo and Rodgers, and they look at the numbers, and their argument is there's really little difference between the two. Obviously, Garoppolo turns it over more, but completion percentage 69% to 62% for Rodgers. Quarterback rating 102 to 95.4 Garoppolo over Rodgers. QBR 12th for Garoppolo. Rodgers is ranked 20th in that area. Earlier in the show, in the 2 o'clock hour, we asked, you know, where do you think the Packers have the advantage? We all agreed they have it at quarterback. When you look at the numbers, it doesn't appear maybe that's as accurate as we all said in the 2 o'clock hour.
I think we can all agree, Spark, that this was not a classic, an all-time Aaron Rodgers kind of year. He I think he struggled with accuracy. His mechanics were off. I think there were things with the players around him he didn't always trust. I think before last week, guys, there was a lot of skepticism and cynicism that maybe he was a little bit washed up and over the hill, but he had a phenomenal game, obviously, against Seattle, and he's probably the number one reason, he and Devontae Adams, I guess, that this team is still alive and kicking today. Spark, I think he's got to go outside his comfort zone a little bit on Sunday for them to win the football game. I don't think he can. I mean, through the course of his career, you guys know this. He's become more and more risk averse. He doesn't want to make mistakes. He never wants to turn the ball over. He's very stat conscious and stat driven. And guys, they're going to need to hit a couple of big plays in this game where Rodgers maybe goes outside his comfort zone a little bit and trusts these receivers and throws them open. Kind of like you saw Joe Burrow doing that national championship game on Monday night, guys. Some of those receivers weren't open, and he threw them open. Aaron's going to have to do that, I think, come Sunday with his guys. He's going to have to give him a chance on some 50-50 balls, because I'm not sure you can dink and dunk your way down the field against this particular defense. These guys are as good as it gets. I think Rodgers is going to have to take a few chances, and he's more than capable, Sparky. We saw that last week. He was precise. He was accurate. He was on target. I wrote earlier in the week, guys, that he has not been very good the overwhelming majority of his NFC Championship appearances. He's 1-2 in championship games, and even the one win, his passer rating was 55.4. That won't get it done on Sunday, Sparky. He's got to have a Hall of Fame level kind of game. He has to dramatically outplay Garoppolo for them to win the football game, and he can do it. But San Francisco is probably better, guys, at 15 of the 22 spots on the field. And one of the spots where Green Bay has the potential to have a huge advantage is at quarterback, because Jimmy G has not been in a game like this. Rodgers has, and Green Bay has to hope that Rodgers has a 2010 Super Bowl level type of a game on Sunday. And if he does, guys, they've got a chance to be in it right till the end.
Robbie, we saw that article, and I thought it was a great article. So we did a question off of that, a topic off of that, and we asked, were those games on McCarthy or Rodgers? And I believe most of the people came in and said those games were more on McCarthy than they were on Aaron Rodgers. Now, Rodgers just sometimes gets a free pass. I think when it goes well and goes great, it's about Rodgers. When it goes bad, I think it was all about Mike McCarthy. But I think at this point, you're looking for something to happen because you have no more Mike McCarthy. And I do agree with you. It's got to be about Aaron Rodgers to try to lead this team to try to get a win in his hometown or in his home state.
You know, Gary, there was a legion of Brett Favre apologists through the years, and I think you have a similar faction of people that'll take that stance with Aaron. I'll give him that maybe a little. The way the Bears game in the 2010 NFC Championship played out, they got an early lead and kind of relied on the run game and the defense. But Aaron was not very good in that game. You guys remember that?
No, brutal, yeah.
And no touchdown passes, and he had to make the kind of the touchdown-saving tackle on Urlacher. I would say he and McCarthy are 50-50, Gary, on that Seattle debacle in 2014. Maybe 70-30 to McCarthy. But Aaron had a chance at various points in that game to get him in the end zone. They wound up settling for three. Matt Ryan dramatically outplayed him, guys, in 2016,
yeah.
And that game was 31-0 before the Packers ever scored a point. I don't think you can put that on McCarthy. Matt Ryan was just head and shoulders better than Rodgers that day. And you're right, Gary. Rodgers has to be head and shoulders probably better than Garoppolo. Rodgers probably has to have a 110 to 120 passer rating, and they've got to find a way to keep Garoppolo around 75 or 80. And if that happens, guys, I think this is a field goal game late. And again, you look at the rosters and you look at various spots where Green Bay could have an advantage and things like that. And there aren't a lot that jump out to you. They're not going to lose 37-8, guys. We all know that. But I think the line is accurate in San Francisco on a given day. It's probably a couple scores better than they are. But you guys have seen enough football and you know the league extremely well. All it takes is a bounce here or there, a special teams play early in the game, something to bounce your way. And then you've got a 36-year-old, two-time MVP, Super Bowl MVP winning quarterback leading the charge, and you've got every chance possible to win this football game. But they need Aaron Rodgers to be absolutely great, guys, on Sunday to have any kind of chance to go out there and win.
Robbie,
I thought, though, one of the keys to the game – sorry about the Bill.
You're good.
I thought maybe one of the keys to the game is that you got to make Garoppolo beat you. And by doing that, I think you've got to keep him in third and long if you can. Make Garoppolo beat you. Put the ball in Garoppolo's hand. You just cannot let them get, you know, be second and four or third and one or third and two. It's got to be more like third and seven, third and eight. I mean, you know, third and even third and five at some point. I think you've got to make Garoppolo beat you in order for them to get a win.
Couldn't agree with you more, Gary, but boy, that's easier said than done.
Isn't it?
I was talking to some of those D-line men yesterday and Blake Martinez about that exact same thing, and they were all kind of marveling at the fact, I mean, not only that San Francisco ran the ball 47 times last weekend against Minnesota, but after Sherman had the interception there in the third quarter, I think San Francisco ran the ball on 12 or 14 consecutive plays. I mean, Minnesota guys, which has a pretty good front and certainly a really good front seven, the Vikings knew exactly what was coming, and it was almost like watching high school football with Muskego or something like that for you, Gary. I mean, everybody knew what was coming, and they were just going to hammer away with that trio of running backs. And last week it was Tevin Coleman more than anybody, and Minnesota still couldn't stop it. So, I mean, that's the enormous challenge for Green Bay on these early downs. Can Kenny Clark be disruptive? Can Za'Darius Smith blow some things up inside? Can Tyler Lancaster kind of play his lane and do some damage? And can Blake Martinez make some plays in the backfield instead of 7 and 8 yards downfield? You're right, Gary. They've got to find a way to have third and long or third and even medium from San Francisco's perspective and Garoppolo to try to beat them, not be in a lot of third and ones or even second and threes and things like that. Because when they can go play action, Gary, and then they can really get Kittle involved in some things, that's when it gets problematic for the Packers.
Robbie, where do you see the Packers having advantages on Sunday?
Ooh. I haven't gone through and done my exact position-by-position breakdown. Green Bay's offensive line's a little stronger, Billy, and they've got a chance to hold up, I think, and as long as Bulaga can go the distance, that
That's huge.
San Francisco, outside of Richard Sherman, that second cornerback's a weak spot for them, Billy. So Green Bay's probably stronger at corner overall, although San Francisco's secondary top to bottom is pretty good. And the fact those guys can get home typically with four and in less than 3 seconds makes it pretty easier or a lot easier to play on the back end. I don't know, Billy, there's not a whole lot of spots. That's why I said you really go back to the quarterback, and your quarterback has to, he has to play at the Hall of Fame level and top 15 all-time quarterback that so many people want to tell you that he is, and he's got to dramatically outplay the guy on the other side.
Hey, I want to interject. Hold on. I want to interject. You keep saying he's got to play at a Hall of Fame level, but we were talking about this yesterday. And the fact that I don't think either coach wants their quarterback throwing the ball 40 times in this game. I think both these coaching staffs want to rely on the ground game and keep both of these quarterbacks not having to throw a ball a ton. And whoever has the best ground game probably wins this football game, providing there's no turnovers.
Well, you might be right, Spark, but he can't have a 27 for 55, at least accuracy kind of game like he did against the Lions. If he throws it 28 times, Sparky, he's got to be 20 for 28 or 22 for 28.
I agree with that.
He can't throw for 104 yards like he did in the first trip out to San Francisco. They need him to be accurate, efficient, move the ball, convert third downs, and hit on a couple of big strikes, which they'll take. They've got to pick and choose their spots, but when they do it, he's got to be a lot more accurate, Sparky, on that deep ball than, say, he was in that Lions game. And that's what I mean by that. If they run 60 offensive plays, you might be right. It might be 30 on each side where it's a 50-50 split at the end of the day, but Rodgers has to average 10 yards per attempt, not 7, Sparky. His completion percentage has to be 70, not 58 or 60. So that's what I mean by Hall of Fame level. He's got to get rid of the ball quickly, Sparky. He can't hold it 3.5, 4 seconds because he's going to be on the turf. If that happens, he might not even be able to hold it 2.5 seconds. He's got to be quick, make quick decisions, and play much like he did, guys, in that 2010 playoff run outside of that Bears game. That's what they need from him. Now, at 36, is he still capable of that? We're going to find out on Sunday.
Robbie, with the moments and a couple of the big-time throws that they had the other day against the Seattle Seahawks, will that be good enough if you have a couple of those vintage moments, maybe on third down, to get this done? Are you looking at, you know, 300 yards, three touchdowns as like a benchmark?
No, I think if they win the game, I think they're going to be hard-pressed to score more than 24, maybe 20.
I agree.
20. I mean, they might have to win it 20-17, 21-20.
I think it's a race to 24, like you just had it.
Yeah, I don't see Green Bay getting, you know, winning this game 31-27 or anything like that. The defenses are too good, and to be honest, guys, I'm not sure San Francisco's going to put up 30 points or anything close to that in this game either. Green Bay's defense was playing pretty well. People forget that in the first matchup against these guys, you know, before things started to go haywire on offense, that they were hanging in there from the defensive side of things. I think Patton and his group will scheme up enough things to keep the 49ers guys in the low 20s. Boy, Billy, I don't know. Moving the ball consistently against this defense and trying to put up four scores through the course of the game to get yourself to 24 or something like that is really going to be a handful for Green Bay.
Robbie, how do you see it playing out?
I think Green Bay gets a pretty big play early. I think, guys, there's so many people right now that have written the Packers off for dead other than the Packers themselves. I've talked to a number of people in San Francisco who are already, you know, planning who they're going to face in the Super Bowl and things like that. But I think Green Bay puts the fear of God into these guys. I think they scare the bejesus out of them. I actually think, guys, Green Bay leads going to the fourth quarter, but fades down the stretch. And I've got a 20-16 San Francisco, Billy.
Oh, man. Well, that's a cover. But, Robbie, if they're leading going into the fourth quarter,
I know, man,
and they lose – You know the kind of pain that we're going to have on Monday.
They better not lose in the last 5 minutes again. That's all I got to say.
It would almost be easier to deal with than 2016. But
I'll take the blowout.
I think it's a lot. I think it's an entirely different game than the first time. Kind of like when they saw Seattle guys in 2014 and the Seahawks routed them in the season opener, and then Green Bay came back, obviously, in that NFC title game and really won that game for the first 55, 57 minutes. So, I don't think you'll ever see an ending quite like that again, Billy, but I think the 49ers kind of rally late and win the game.
I keep that Seattle comp. When you look back at that first game, wasn't that like the first time we saw Derek Sherrod in a game and he started getting blown up similar to Alex Light? Like there's some weird comparisons here in this situation. Just hopefully they can finish it off better than that one in Seattle. Robbie, appreciate it, man, and hopefully we're talking about them finding themselves in Miami next week when we talk to you on Thursday, all right?
Well, that would be a lot of fun for all of us. So, yeah, hope I'm wrong on the prediction, guys, and you guys enjoy the game.
You're the man, Rob.
Thanks, Robbie.
Appreciate it, dude. That's Rob Reichel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may be the space you need. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Gary Ellerson, they haven't been doing it for that long, but they're keeping your swing in tip-top shape when it's like 4 degrees outside.
Well, it's like it is today. So it feels like
brutal.
Green Bay. Guys, outdoor golf season is over, but you can keep your swing in mid-season groove at Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center. They have the latest state-of-the-art high-definition golf simulators over 100 leading courses like Pebble Beach, Doral, Pinehurst, and others as you swing away with your friends while enjoying pizza, wings, and a full alcohol bar while it snows outside. Don't let your golf swing go into hibernation. Keep it fresh at Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center. For details, check them out on Facebook or online at wisconsinindoorgolfcenter.com.
Gary, while we have you here quickly, just wanted to run this by you. This is coming up on Twitter right now. Mm-hmm. Here's Dave Aranda going to be leaving LSU and taking over the head job at Baylor.
Yeah, I mean, I thought at one point he should get a head coaching job, and that's why he went to – I mean, I thought he was in line to get the job over Coach O, and that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to be a head coach in waiting somewhere. I mean, he's making $2 million per for a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, good amount
I think
of change.
That's a big number for a defensive coordinator.
And as much crap as what happened at Baylor in the sports programs, their basketball team is at a high level, and mm-hmm. their football team is at a high level right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting to see who he brings on as an offensive coordinator.
Well, I was going to say there's no way that anybody from that Wisconsin staff is going there, is there?
I don't know. We'll have to see. But we'll see. Most of those guys, though, are tied
Rudolph's not going to leave guard, I don't think.
No. They're all tied with Paul Chris because they all played there.
Sure.
So I would find it hard to believe for any of those guys to leave for offensive coordinator job, maybe a head coaching job somewhere, but not an OC.
Well, good. And then we don't have to worry about anything like that. Because some people brought up Jim Leonard's name, and that would just be
disastrous. Well, no, Jim Leonard doesn't want to go be underneath a defensive coordinator.
Right, no doubt about it, because then he has no chance of becoming the head coach there.
What about Jim Leonard to LSU?
As a defensive coordinator?
To replace Aranda.
He wouldn't leave.
That's a big pay raise.
Yeah, but he wouldn't leave Wisconsin for another defensive coordinator job. I think he'd leave for a head coaching job somewhere, though.
I agree. I just think the job security there is way dicier than it is in Wisconsin.
And, he played pro football. The guy didn't spend a lot of money. He's got money.
Smart dude. That's true.
I mean, he's not like Dave Aranda didn't play pro ball. I mean,
For almost a dozen years.
Right. I mean, you look at this guy, he's not hurting for money. Now, everybody wants more money, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't have to make the move for the big payday.
Yeah, right now he's making what, $1.5 million, something like that?
Close to like $2 million at LSU.
He's making $2 million at LSU.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of money.
All right, Gary, appreciate it, man. Go enjoy the night tonight. Say hello to Gina for us.
I tell Gina you said hello.
You're the man. Gary Ellerson joining us up at our WNFL studios here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and I are back after this. Where do you rank the four remaining teams? You won't believe where somebody on the NFL Network had the Packers. More next on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.